Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The noise meter has the crowd into it. Another 3-2. There's a swing and a fly ball. Hit well. Right center field. Zimmer doesn't see it, and it is gone out of the Miller Lite party deck. A walk-off home run for Ellie De La Cruz. His 11th home run of the year, and the bat's off the mat in the bottom of the ninth. They win it 5-4.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
All right, welcome back. Jeremy Kahn here.
Jake, we're really here on You Better You Bet.
Yeah. He was dying to play that. I don't even know if we were going to do Ellie De La Cruz here, but like, that's what is it? Who are the bats? I forget what city he played, or like what their minor league is, right?
Their minor league team
for the Reds. Yeah. Is it Louisville? That's where he hit the ball out of the stadium, right? The Louisville Bats. Is that what that's called? So that was the Louisville, whoever does TV for the Louisville Bats or their radio call. That was them.
He's not on like the Toledo Mud Hens or something, or like where all these names they come up with.
Outrageous. Yeah. Do you want to do that here first, just for a minute? Because there's like a ton of buzz about him getting called up. You want to do this for a little bit, and then we'll do Cy Young right after?
Sure. Let's do it. Go. What are your thoughts on getting called up?
Sure. So for people who don't know, Ellie De La Cruz is the number one ranked prospect in Major League Baseball he became the number one prospect like 2 weeks ago, I think, or something. But he was always a really, really big time prospect. And it's a lazy comparison, but like, look, he does a lot of the things that O'Neill Cruz did really well when O'Neill Cruz got called up last year, like crazy height, weight, physical dimensions for playing, you know, an infield position, throws the ball 900 miles per hour, hits balls out of stadiums, does things that people don't normally do when they play baseball. He's just different. And he's pretty awesome. And there's a ton of excitement about him. And we were waiting. Bettors were waiting. Reds fans were waiting. Baseball fans were waiting for him to get called up. And he got called up today. So I think something really interesting potentially here is on the verge of happening. And I actually wrote about this a few weeks ago because we knew for a very long time that this call up was imminent. We just didn't know when it was going to happen, that the Reds were going to call him up to play. And I think the interesting thing is, okay, like, we know what his odds are to win NL Rookie of the Year. He has not played a game yet. He got bet a lot today. The consensus price in the market is down to like 11, 12 to 1 on him to win NL Rookie of the Year. And Corbin Carroll is a top 20 player in Major League Baseball basically right now. And he plays for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's a rookie. He is an overwhelming favorite. He's like minus 135 at BetMGM. That's actually pretty close to what he is everywhere. He's built a tremendous lead in this race to win NL Rookie of the Year that Ellie De La Cruz essentially has to track down by being awesome. And the really interesting thing to me will be if Ellie De La Cruz is awesome right out of the gate, let's say in his first game, I don't know if the Reds play tonight or if he's in the lineup tonight, but like whatever his first game is, tonight, tomorrow, whatever. Let's say it's like a 500-foot home run. They play the Dodgers tonight. I don't know. Are they calling him up? Jake, are they calling him up with the idea that he's like going to, he's in the lineup tonight? Like we know he's in the lineup.
And he's going up against the Catman, Tony Gonsolin.
Dick says TBD. You're going and facing Tony Gonsolin. But so my point was just, if he hits like a 500-foot home run, what we saw with O'Neill Cruz last year, he was called up not at this exact time. O'Neill Cruz actually got called up later in June last year than this call-up happened. And I remember that level of excitement for a prospect getting called up. And remember his first game, first series, he did like seven different ridiculous things, right? Like hit a long home run, had like the hardest throw ever measured, had like all of these things in the lineup tonight, batting cleanup, Ellie De La Cruz. So hello, welcome to the majors. Here's, you know, facing the Dodgers, you're batting cleanup. Let's say he hits a 500-foot home run off Gonsolin. What happened with O'Neill Cruz was, even though like he was starting from behind, like he hadn't played a game yet, he had a lot of ground to make up in Rookie of the Year, by having such a good first game, second game, third game, his price cratered so fast. He was the favorite after 2 days. He was the favorite.
Really?
He hadn't done anything yet. After 2 days, he was the favorite to win NL Rookie of the Year. And he was behind everybody. He ended up being behind Michael Harris, who actually won the award. But like there was such a mania around O'Neill Cruz being awesome that the market dramatically shifted in this crazy, unpredictable way where like there was no bottom on what O'Neill Cruz was going to be. 2-1, 3-1. He hadn't done anything yet. He played a game. But everybody was just like, oh my God. Like, this is unbelievable. And that had an impact in the betting market. Most importantly, if Ellie De La Cruz hits like a moonshot home run tonight, what is his price tomorrow to win this? There's like Corbin Carroll's way ahead, like a 2-win player right now, 2.5-win player. This is so interesting. Like, cause I think it's possible that like we see this happen again where like not he won't become the favorite, but we're like, if he hits a moonshot home run, is he like 3-1 tomorrow to win NL Rookie of the Year? Like, is that what we're talking about? There's nobody in his way except for Corbin Carroll. So it's just a really interesting dynamic where someone could not have played, but there's so much excitement about that player that any hint of like amazing performance causes like even more of a massive price drop.
Well, and the other thing I'd say about Corbin Carroll, and I don't know if I'm correctly calling it, but he does seem a little bit like a five-tool player. He steals a ton of bases so he can run.
He's awesome.
I think. Yeah. So like, it's not just a matter of catching him in one category. It could be stealing some views. It's still relatively early, as you said. I mean, it is June, but there's a lot of time to compile some stats, and all you need is a hiccup here, an injury there, whatever. Somebody goes on gets into a funk and can't hit some of that. And I saw your question. Gonsolin's not a big time home run guy.
Right.
There's a lot of ground.
He like never allows a lot of home runs, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we have markets on Ellie. So to record an RBI tonight +145 to hit a home run, which I think is God. I mean, if that's not the most bet home run prop tonight, I don't know what is, because it's just everyone's going to be so excited. +360. That is a very low price on someone to hit a home run. Like you typically like your huge players. So like Aaron Judge. Yeah. What would you say Aaron Judge is to hit a home run? Something like 2-1, 250, something in that range, maybe.
Probably. It might even be for him specifically. He's a guy that's like, I know like there have been times that Tatis has been like +220 or +210.
Right.
In certain
situations.
Like
Yordan Alvarez or something like that. Like somebody who just hits like crushes. Schwarber, who didn't homer, but who I bet to homer last night, was like 3, I think. So like, and those are your like the best home run hitters in both leagues. Like those are the prices on them. And he's being rated like that. Like that's crazy. And that just speaks to kind of like what I'm talking about with this mania around like this guy might be something really, really special.
Yeah. And by the way, they're in Cincinnati tonight, right? Like, cause tonight is, if I remember correctly, tonight is the first 7 o'clock start for Cincy after all the 6:40 starts. And we know the Great American Small Park. Yeah, so they moved. So that's I remember seeing something on Twitter today about it, like bumping the game back. And do you prefer 6:40 or 7 o'clock? I'm happy. I prefer these 7 o'clock games and the 6 o'clock games just because I'm used to it, accustomed to it. I look for that stuff on Monday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays on getaway days, and we know what to expect on Sundays. But, you know, the other day, was it Friday now, had a 5 o'clock Apple TV game that I didn't know about with the Reds and the Brewers. I was trying to figure out which app it was on to watch it. But with Cincinnati, too, like He doesn't give up a ton of homers, but this is a ballpark, especially I didn't see if there was any rain in the forecast. I've talked about the, here I am on my weather stuff.
You're
talked
Mr. about weather. Them. No, this is good. Yeah. This is your thing. This is your, I thought this would be your category on Jeopardy that you'd be really good at, like serial killers. And then like in our next one, weather patterns,
baseball weather,
this is your area of expertise.
Nothing really with the Reds tonight that stands out to say, hey, yeah, it's a great spot or not, but no real edge, I would say. But again, I always lean towards overs in that ballpark and just how the pitchers can struggle. And I don't think it's a great pitching matchup tonight, to say the least. That's why we have a 10.5 total. So yeah, we shall see. Is there anything that interests you? Do you want to stay with Ellie and talk a little bit more? I mean, are you going to bet him or wait it out?
I think the way I would recommend everybody always plays this stuff, like, because you can see these things coming a mile away from an award betting standpoint. There are, you know, people who remotely follow this. Like, I always feel bad sometimes because I have really strong opinions in baseball, but then I'm always like, I should probably pay attention just like a little bit more, because sometimes like I'll, you know, like a guy will get hurt and I won't see it till the next day or whatever. Like I actually should probably be way more locked in day to day on what's actually happening in these games. Usually I'll read the next morning, read everything, and then make bets. This was not a difficult thing to see coming, that this this player was going to be hyped like this, that a call up would happen in this range, and that it would cause a mania around his price, where he's literally priced the same right now as the players who are second, third, and fourth in the NL in WAR. Like James Outman of the Dodgers, who's had a brutal last few weeks, is, and at one time it was Corbin Carroll and Outman were being rated together, and Carroll has just lapped the field, and Outman has struggled a lot. Francisco Alvarez is catcher for the Mets. Mets optioned another one of their catchers today, right? I think Tomas Nito got optioned. So like it's Alvarez, like Alvarez is going to play. But you know, it just hasn't been quite as good. He had a great series at Coors Field the end of the other weekend, and it's like these are all very mediocre candidates behind Corbin Carroll, and Ellie De Cruz hasn't had a plate appearance yet, and he's rated the same as them, and it's June. So it's just like this was easy to see happening. He was 50-1 3 weeks ago. I wrote about it, him and Royce Lewis, these like two call-ups who I thought could have huge impacts on the Rookie of the Year races. Royce Lewis for the Twins, who got called up like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and it's like even before he does anything, it's not about projecting his performance. I would be terrible at that. I don't know how to project his performance. I don't have any idea. Mm-hmm. But like a guy is 50 and you read these things, it's like, well, I can bet this 50 and it's going to be way less than 50 when he gets called up, even if he doesn't do anything. So it's just like, okay, like who are the players in these markets that can have that impact on things? So this doesn't have to be like rookies. It's easy. It's like, are there rookies that are going to get called up? Will they cause this kind of mania where their price will drop? You'd identify a couple immediately. This would be the number one guy. And he just got called up. He was 50 3 weeks ago. He's 10, hasn't taken a swing yet. It's gone from 50 to 10. So there was a price drop being ahead of the market you could figure out pretty easily. And then this applies to other markets too, though. Who are players who are injured, who are about to become healthy and start playing? Right? Like what are teams that are about to play a really, really easy three games on their schedule in the NFL, or a college football team that's about to be favored by 35 in back-to-back games? Maybe I want to bet on their quarterback to win the Heisman because he's about to have like 17 touchdown passes, right? Like there's a way to get ahead of all this stuff without actually like needing a really specific game result or having to like use a crystal ball to, well, I think in that coin flip game, it's going to be this. So this is like another one of those. And then the second part of that, so we talked about like identifying those players in advance, betting them, seeing the price drop. The second part is once the thing pops, you generally want to be your school of thought, Jeremy, which is to be really contrarian, sort of like sell the news, basically, right? Like, okay, now he's the biggest thing in baseball. And he's like, if he eats any of Corbin Carroll's win probability, like my sincere hope here is he does anything flashy and Corbin Carroll stops being minus 135, and it's like dump truck Corbin Carroll, like in terms of amount of money bet. Like it's like I hope this happens, because now that's the way to play it. Or don't bet.
Yeah.
But like I think now the way to play it is like you want him to pop now, and you want the price to crater, and then you want to jam Corbin Carroll, who's way ahead. So like we'll see what happens.
Now I know last time you and I talked, we talked a ton about WAR. How difficult would it be for him to raise his WAR to get on the level with the other guys if the Reds got off to some ridiculous start, or he just played out of his mind initially?
Can definitely happen. So the best example, or the example that people that bet these markets will use, is Yordan Alvarez when he got called up for the Astros, was literally was like a 4-win player in 2.5 months, which is like, it's like Aaron Judge last year type stuff, mm-hmm. really, honestly, in terms of like for a full season. And so it is always possible. Michael Harris, really, like, we're not far from the year anniversary of him getting called up and playing his first game with the Braves. I think it was just before June 1st that he got called up. He was able to, you know, he and Strider together were able to put together remarkable seasons. They distanced themselves from the other position players in the National League, you know, which was what, like Brendan Donovan, O'Neill Cruz, who struggled, you know, Seiya mm-hmm. Suzuki, I guess some of these guys, but none of these guys actually like had a lot of like oomph or chance to win. Carroll's different. Like, he, from a WAR standpoint, he rates out as like a top 15 player in the league, like in that, not rookie, like top 15 player in the league. So like, can Ellie De La Cruz do that? Maybe, but like, your time to bet Ellie De La, like, I can't emphasize this enough. The time to bet him is over. Like, this was like an April conversation. Like, if you're mm-hmm. just following his price, like, you could try to get the last crumbs of this now, but like, this is it. Like, it's like, this is already, it's already too late. And they're like, well, he's like 10-1. Be like, it's going to be really tough for him to catch Corbin Carroll. So like, all that's really going to happen now is maybe the two of them end up having a 2-horse race to the end, or Carroll just wins going away. But like, and the time to like get the value out of Ellie seems like we're like way past that.
And that, there would be something too there too, Ken, with as far as like 10-1, do the odds feel like they're enough for you to take that chance if he's that far behind? Like,
right, if it correct. Were, you that's know, a great way
there,
to
there, there is a. There is a yeah. price that makes sense, but like, are you getting fair value at 10-1? I think would be the question.
It's probably close to the right price. Like, let's put it this way. I think there is almost a 0% chance that if Corbin Carroll stays healthy, that James Outman can ever have the same type of season. I think there's about a 0% chance that's close. And Ellie De La Cruz has a chance to have a better season than Corbin Carroll. So just by virtue of those two things alone, like Ellie better chance than Outman of catching Carroll, they probably can't have the same price, and they have the same price right now. So maybe there's a little room left for this to drop to like fair, but man, like we're already really close. Like, it really is actually close.
More Cy Young talk coming up. We'll get into more Major League Baseball. Jeremy Kahn, Ken Barkley, it's You Better You Bet right here on the BetQL Network, brought to you by BetMGM.